got multiple Grammys, multiple skills, and from a family of talent.
My sister is a musician, my mother is a musician. And so for us, that was the natural order of things. And I really grew up thinking that most people had musicians in their families.
Success in jazz, R&B, hip hop, and still reaching for more.
I want to be the greatest of all time. So I'm going to always keep learning, always keep studying, always keep trying to expand my territory in terms of the sound and the comfort that it brings and the balm and all of that. It's really my mission.
It's singer-songwriter Layla Hathaway on a fantastic episode.
Featuring me on The Pulse.
Guys, welcome to another episode of The Pulse, where we feature people doing amazing things in all sorts of fields, entertainment and acting and comedy and philanthropy and so many other things. And every now and then, we get to talk to people multi-talented, have done it in multiple genres, have a great story and history. And Layla Hathaway, multiple Grammy winning, Layla Hathaway joins us on The Pulse. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning. I'm good. How about you?
I'm all right. I appreciate you getting up. You're on the West Coast, so it's early where you are.
I am. The sun is just peeking up.
Okay. And this is, as you were telling me during the break, this is like last night for performers.
Yes. This is legally still last evening for musicians. So we're still in last night legally.
Oh, okay. Fair enough. So we'll put a disclaimer on the screen. Like, this is officially still yesterday for yes. Layla. Thank you. I appreciate you getting up. Appreciate you doing this. Let's go back a little bit, because I started talking about kind of your history, your legacy, all of the things that you're doing. And we know some of that, but take us back to how you got started. How'd you even get into this?
You know, I grew up with two musician parents, so I was never not into this. It has been my life trajectory. I was a student of music my entire life. And so it was on my natural path. I've never not been on this path.
Is that, as somebody, a completely different field, less famous family, but someone who grew up in radio and media was always my path, was that inspiring or an immediate challenge of kind of this legacy a child has to live up to?
Well, I never felt it really until I was an adult. It was never put on me as a child. So I think that I come from a family full of musicians. My sister's a musician. My mother is a musician. And so for us, that was the natural order of things. And I really grew up thinking that most people had musicians in their families, believe it or not.
That was just all you saw. Like, what do you mean sing? Yeah. Like, that's what we're supposed to do. We sing, we play
Absolutely.
Instruments. So then if that's the case, and you were kind of born into at least that environment, when did you choose it? When did you know this was a path for you?
This is the truth. It was never a choice. It was always the trajectory of who I was and where I was going. There were other things I wanted to do along the way. I wanted to be a magician. I wanted to be a comedian or an actor. I've painted, I tried to dance, but I've always been a creative, and music has always been like the centerpiece of that.
Okay, so it just was supposed to happen.
Absolutely.
So if that's the case and that path is kind of laid out for you, your steps were already ordered, was there a time when it was, this is my break, this is when I'm now doing career? Like, when did it click for you that, okay, this is the journey, this is the career?
Yeah. You know, I went to performing arts high school, and then I went to the Berklee College of Music. And so from that point on, from really studying music every day and getting to play music every day, I got signed when I was in college and started making a record. So it has always been this sort of, I've always been on this winding path of how to create music and go out and play music for people. So probably in my early teens or late teens, I realized like, okay, this is where I am. This is what I'm doing. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. But it literally was always the path of my life.
And never overwhelming, because someone like you grew up with legends in your household, both family and collaborations. So it was never a moment where you went, whoa, look at some of the people I'm chilling with.
No. I feel so blessed because I meet so many young folks now, and They don't exactly know what their passions are yet or what they want to do in life yet. And I always knew, it was always very clear to me that I was a musician, that I was a creative person. So that has always been my path.
So when did you know, there are a lot of legacy people who always were in it and just aren't that good. I mean, we have a lot of, there's professional athletes who are sons and daughters of the greatest and carry that throughout, but just can't play. So even if it was always your path, when did you know that you had the gift, like multiple gifts?
Now that's a good question. I don't know. I just, it has always just, you know, it's like kind of asking a fish, like, when did you know you were in the ocean? Like, I really, really always was a musician, no matter at what level. I always understood that I would continue to get better, that my gift would continue to evolve and make room for me, as it still does. I'm still reaching. I'm still a student. I'm still learning. My voice is still improving. My ideas are getting better. My writing is getting better. So it's an evolution for me. It really is. It really has been a journey.
Even still, multiple Grammys and a voice that people recognize that can do so many different things.
Absolutely. I can't stop there. I want to be the greatest of all time. So I'm going to always keep learning, always keep studying, always keep trying to expand my territory in terms of the sound and the comfort that it brings and the balm and all of that. It's really my mission.
It's interesting when you talk about the, even now, I want to be the greatest of all time and all the different things that you've accomplished. And we just started talking about like multiple musicians in your family. But for a long time, it was about, or at least the question or one of the questions was your legendary father, your Donny Hathaway's daughter. So that kind of comes with the territory. I read something I think that was interesting, that when you were younger, it was kind of like, okay, yes, I'm, you know, I'm Donny Hathaway's daughter, but there's more to me. And it sounds like at some point it transitioned from, like, I'm tired of answering these questions to I kind of embrace what the pieces that made me are. Is that a fair assessment?
You know, I think that in the beginning, people would ask, I mean, I have gotten some really crass questions about my father. I think that people associate us, but forget or put to the side that I am his daughter. Okay. You know what I mean? So I have never had a problem answering questions about him. People tend to, at one point in my career, I used to say that I had a group of flashcards. I knew how people were going to ask the questions. I knew what the questions were. You know, it's how much of an influence has your father been on your career? What is the thing you learned from your dad? People didn't really get into the music of it. I think that's what I objected to. And I have always embraced that legacy. It's so important to me to show up and be able to have one foot in that legacy and then the other foot walking forward to take that legacy forward. So I think probably in my 20s and 30s, you might have caught me on a day where I could look at a person interviewing me and know exactly what questions they were going to ask, which was boring to me. Okay. But now I think the questions are more thoughtful. I think we have more insight. I know that I have more insight and I have a lot more to offer as an artist, as a daughter. So, yeah.
That's always interesting to me. And I don't know if I'm just blissfully naive. Like I can't, the crass or disrespectful, I can't even fathom what those questions would be. I mean, it is, and we don't need to go down that path, but when you say that, the look on my face was like, really? I'm trying to hear about kind of the legacy and growing up that.
Sometimes, you know, it happens, you know, sometimes I'm at a concert and there are people, they're dressed like my dad. Mm-hmm. Or, you know, people will bring pictures of his headstone, you know, to a show. And I think that there's so much. He's such a sort of mythic figure. And people forget that when they approach me, that while I am the closest thing they will get to, you know, being near him, it's still I am his child. And right. So I feel the way, you know what I mean?
Right. Right. Understand that was someone you were a fan of, but that actually was my father.
Absolutely. That's it right there.
Yeah, have that level of sensitivity. With that kind of being said, you have, throughout this career, you've kind of been all over the place. You're jazz musician, R&B musician. You've done things with Snoop. You know, you do all kinds of things. And people, I think, sometimes have struggled to figure out how to define you. And it has always seemed like you said, don't. You know, so yeah. How do you define yourself?
Don't struggle. Don't struggle. I don't define myself. I'm a musician. And so I feel like a lot of times, you know, particularly in the entertainment industry, there is a need to compartmentalize you and put you in a box. They don't do it to men as much. They don't do it to instrumentalists as much. You know, George Benson made great jazz records. He played with Miles Davis. He made great hits in the 80s and 90s and 2000s. He's been all over the place, but nobody says, George Benson, you play the guitar so many ways. So for me, being a musician, the quest is to get into as much stuff authentically as I can. And it's important to me to be able to play with Take Six, with Snoop Dogg, with Kendrick Lamar, with Esperanza Spalding, with Herbie Hancock. It's important to me to stretch and evolve, and that's the only way to do that.
And that's pretty amazing that that list of people you can just rattle off very casually. And I think it's because there is no specific genre, right? You just kind of, I'm a singer, I'm a performer, I'm a musician. And that it seems like from the outside that that would continue to open a lot of doors and make it a lot more fun for you.
It is. It is a lot of fun. I love what I do. I have, as you can see, great passion for what I do. I try to stay around people that are great because I feel like it rubs off. I learn something every time. I've been so blessed to play with so many of the musicians that mentored me before I even knew they were mentoring me. And even on the album, I have this album out called Vanta Black, and Michael McDonald's on the album, and Gerald Albright is on the album, and MC Light, and Common, and Rhapsody, and Willow Smith, and Fonte. And it's just so amazing to reach out to these different musicians and get a story from each one.
And we were just, and the best transition into Vanta Black. So there's, it's your newest, it's your eighth, right?
I think so, yeah.
Okay. Something like that, just knock them out. And the tour that goes along with it.
Absolutely.
So was it just working with all these people? You still have more to say? Like what inspired this one?
This record was really inspired in a way by the pandemic. So we were shut down and I was working with people online and just trying to respond to how I was feeling at that time. And the record, the word Vanta Black really is to represent the blackest black. And that is where I find myself at this period in time. And I really feel like at one point it felt like it has evolved into knowing that everything that comes into my sphere makes me who I am. So the blackest black does not exclude all the other colors. It's everything came into me at that point. I think part of that was, and I'm sure a lot of people will tell you, that being able to sit down in those few weeks, those first few weeks in March of 2020, really kind of leveled the playing field mentally for me. And I had been working since probably 1990. So to have that year, which I thought would be about 5 or 6 weeks, turned into a year and a half.
Yeah.
Having that time to sit down and recharge and think and not be in traffic and not be in the grocery store 4 days a week, just sitting down and really having the space to breathe in the quiet. The air was clear. It was a thing in LA. The smog went down, everything. There were advantages to that time. And one of them for me was really kind of centering. And that's where the record comes from.
Is it fair to say, so Vanta Black, more expression, a chance to work with all of these different people and continue to share your voice. But I was reading that the making the music is not nearly as much fun for you as performing it and getting out on the tour.
Oh, no, that's not true. That's not true. I love both parts. I really love a great studio day where I can make it exactly what I want it to be forever. And I really love a live day when I can go look in people's eyes and see the dust and the light and the filters and see the people breathing and how they are responding and get that immediate feedback too. It is like it's two wings on a dove. I really love live performance, but I also really love the studio piece of it as well.
Your live performances, I guess what I'm getting to is that they seem very different. Excuse me. A lot of people will go out and just perform their songs. You feel like you enjoy that interaction. The songs may be longer. They may be like more of the ad lib. Oh, yeah. Like it's a conversation with the audience.
Absolutely. It's a conversation with the other musicians on stage and then also a conversation with the audience. This is why I loved my live album experience, and I have plans to do more of those because the people become a part of the music. And I really love that immediate feedback. Absolutely.
And so that's what we're getting more of. When you just got finished telling me, don't compartmentalize me, don't define me, I shudder to ask this question. So what are we going to see on this tour as you move around?
I never say what we're going to see, only because there's so much smoke and mirrors in music. I feel like if you're coming to see me, you know the show is going to be good. You know, we're going to play a bunch of songs you love. You're going to sing along. We're going to have a good time. It is hard after 35 years to include every song that everybody loves.
Yeah.
Invariably, someone is, you did not sing track number 13. We will do as much as we can for the time that we have. But, you know, we're building a new show now. And I haven't decided how I'm going to cut it up, but it's going to be a completely new show.
Okay, so we need to come and
Absolutely.
Probably multiple times because Monday's show might be different from Wednesday's show.
It absolutely will. I am a person that has to change it up just to keep it fresh for me. So it absolutely is a little different every time.
For somebody who likes this, and you just said you like being in the studio, you like the touring. How do you like the industry now? It feels like, and I talk to a lot of guests, it's changing. It's easier to make a music and release it on streaming. The artists are not being compensated as much for 100 million streams. Like somebody yeah. like you who puts so much into the performances, I'm curious how you feel about the direction it seems the industry is going.
You know, I feel like music and art generally, but specifically music, has really been devalued to a point in our society that it's the most important part of every gathering. So like you would never have your family reunion or your barbecue or go to church or clean up the house or go out on a date or head to dinner without that element. You always have music for every element. And I feel like to make a fraction of a penny per stream is counterintuitive. I'll put it like that. I feel like, you know, it's really important for people to understand when you see Snoop or Pharrell talking about the fact that they have had billions of streams and made only thousands of dollars.
Yeah.
That's for billions of streams. That's like probably the top 2% of people that are out there. The rest of the musicians that work in this world to provide the fabric of your life, which is the music that you listen to every day, are streaming far less. So they're not making any money at all. So I think it's one of those things that I wish that we could do sort of what the writers did, but there is no such thing as that in the music industry. But I think something has to give because everybody's not able to tour. And while the landscape has been made easier for people to create music and get it out there, it's not easy to live like that.
You know, it's interesting. While you were talking, I'm listening to you talk about that. And I'm also jotting down the people who were just guests on our show, like not the people, you know, in life, but who were just guests on our show. And Sheila E., CeCe Peniston actually showed us the streaming of like, 100 million streams and like a $7,000 check, like some absurd number, you know, for reading 100 million streams. The guys from New Edition were on and were talking about that. Gavin Rossdale was on and talking about that.
And especially when you see what the CEOs make, especially when you see what those with the folks that exploit music make.
Well, and they, and a couple of them, they talk to us, and I'm curious to you, like, how, what can we who want to support you, you know, support you as the artist, you know, what can we do? Some people have just re-released their music and you're buying it directly from them. What do we as consumers do if we're opposed to this?
What you can do is you can buy the record. That's always really helpful. I think it's over 1,000 streams equals a buy of some sort. I don't remember the equation. You can buy the record. You can go see an act that you like live in concert. You can support your live local musicians. You can support kids that are trying to learn music. I think in a lot of places, music doesn't exist in school anymore, and that's really important, particularly for kids of color, because a lot of that is history as well. It's English, it's math. It makes kids smarter. It makes their cognitive learning smarter. So it's a really important piece that I think people kind of put to the side, but music is really, for me, the best part of every day. So I want to make sure that the kids have that kind of outlet.
I feel like that's a smooth segue to our final question we ask everybody, because the theme of this show is using your voice for good. So we ask everybody, when they hear the phrase, use your voice for good, what does that mean to you?
That means for me to speak life into every situation. It means to try to be as positive as possible, to use my voice to really uplift people. And that's an important tenet of what I do. I really feel like when you come to a show, you may laugh, you may cry, you may feel wrung out, you may feel angry, but what I want you to leave with is hope. And that's really important to me, because music at a certain point was really to uplift people. And that's really what I try to do.
This was fun. I appreciate you spending some time with us. Layla Hathaway is on tour. Vanta Black is now out. You can follow her on social media. You can go to her website, buy it directly for all the things that we were just talking about. And I got to tell you, too much love and respect, and recognizing how early it is on the West Coast. I wanted to ask you to sing so bad. And I'm like, she got a whole day of interviews. It's really early in the morning. I will come to the show like everybody else and get that live performance. But thank you so much.
Thank you.
Guys, thanks so much for listening to another episode of the Pulse with Bill Anderson podcast. Today with multi-Grammy winning, I should say, easy for me to say, multi-Grammy winning recording artist, Layla Hathaway. Comes from a legendary family, has accomplished so much herself. Just a cool story and a cool, talented person. I hope you enjoyed it. Go ahead and hit like, subscribe, follow, whatever it is on your screen, so you get a notification every week when another episode is available. Also, I encourage you to download the Fox Local app, so all episodes of The Pulse right there at your fingertips on demand. Pretty cool. You also can hit me up on social media at Bill A. Fox 29. Always eager to hear from you. And I leave you today, as I always do, reminding you, whenever you can, use your voice for good, and have a good one.